Today on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens, an award-winning guaranteed Irish company. cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Today on RTE Radio 1. Listen back on the RTE Radio Player app.
Is your work fulfilling you? Do you find it meaningful? Or do you find that you're engaged in busy work, that yours is a ghost job, paper pushing, box ticking, just a cog in the machine? If you find your job is soul crushing and to all intents and purposes pointless, how do you then try and create or find meaning in it? How might you get out of it? I'm joined by mental health experts, Dr. Harry Barry and Dr. Anne-Marie Creven. Good morning to both of you.
Good morning,
how are you?
Philip, how are you doing?
Define a socially useless job from your point of view, Harry.
Well, this term came up from a fellow called Graeber back in 2013. He was an anthropologist, and he came up with this beautiful term called bullshit job.
Harry, I apologise.
I'm using his words, of course, not mine. But he was very interesting because he kind of came up with this kind of really mad idea in some senses that that up to a third of jobs, in his opinion, were completely meaningless. People were just going through the motions. They were getting reasonably well paid. They were staying quiet about the fact that they hated the job and they found it meaningless and socially useless. He felt that there were certain kind of occupations that were kind of more likely to give you this kind of feeling, things like being a manager on a legal team, salespeople, human resources and all the rest of it. And he also came up with this crazy idea that the percentage of bullshit jobs was actually increasing all the time. So really, this became a big, big thing worldwide. Do you know what I mean? Because everybody kind of grained onto it. And, you know, it made people maybe in a good sense, maybe start analysing, well, how do I feel about my job? Do you know what I mean? How do I feel about my workplace? And what was very interesting, probably one thing he did say that probably was accurate, and that was that there was a cost to your mental health if you felt you were involved in this type of work, you know.
We are not here to diagnose today, Anne-Marie, whether a third of all jobs are actually useless or not, but how the sense that your job might be useless would end up leaving you feel. What impact do you see that having on people?
Yeah, I think it's really important to say that nobody is dissing anyone's job. I mean, we can't know exactly how useful different jobs we don't hold are. So really, the utility of the job and the nonsense associated with it, it's in the eye of the job holder. I think that's really important. And it does have an impact on people, because if you think about how much of our time we spend in our roles, some of us want to have very useful jobs. We value having a job that's a type of public service, for example. And some of us differ in that, and some might be more motivated by the financial aspect and they don't mind if it's not societally of value, if it's well paid, okay? But for people who really do value making a meaningful contribution in their work, which is most of us to some degree, when we don't make that contribution, it is going to affect us. So it might affect us in a few ways. It might lower our mood a little bit. It will have an impact on an organisation where people mentally check out a bit and it can be hard to rope people back in. We might spend a bit of time job hunting, but of course, some of the conditions we have are too good to be true, so we stay. So an example I like to think of, and I'm not saying it's an absolutely nonsensical job, but there was a documentary
RTE
recently.
RTE radio presenter, go on.
No. Well, Philip, you said it.
No, I'm just anticipating you.
No. Well, I was watching the Victoria Beckham documentary recently, and she has a fashion business and she quite likes plants. So she had 70,000 euros or pounds worth of plants in her facilities every year, and somebody was paid 15k a year to come and water them. Okay. So they could have looked at this as an amazing
50K?
Gig. 15. Yeah. Only 15. But it was regarded by her accountants as excessive. Okay, so they pared that back. But the point is, this person might have thought, this is a great gig. All I'm coming in here is doing and watering a few plants, right? That nobody even really needs these plants, okay? Somebody kind of likes plants, and despite the business not really thriving, they have them. So someone could have looked at that job as not really making a meaningful contribution, but at the same time, it's a pretty easy gig. So it's quite difficult to leave these jobs, even when you yourself identify them as not really being relevant.
Harry, what do you think?
Well, I was glad to say that thankfully Cambridge University in 2021 took on your man Graeber and actually analysed academically, which I was much more interested in. And they actually come up with a figure of about 4.8% of the workforce actually are in genuinely what they consider bullshit jobs. Secondly, that there was no particular type of occupation. Thirdly, that in fact this was on the decrease. And fourthly, yes, that it did encourage that it did actually worsen your mental health. But my personal belief is that an awful lot of our jobs and how our mental health is affected is very much about how we look at our jobs. So it's very much in the land of the beholder. Two interesting things for me that were very interesting in the academic research that I actually would like to pick out because I think they're really, really important. And the first one is that from... If the person, the employee, really felt that their employers and their managers really valued their opinion, looked for their advice, felt they were part of a team, that was a massive positive. And I think that's a real wake-up call to many occupations out there. And secondly, that having a good social circle, I think that was a very interesting one for me, that having people there that you liked, that you got on with, that you came in every day and you had this kind of to and fro from, and kind of separate to your work nearly a lot of the time, that those were kind of positive things. Do you know what I mean? I mean, let's be blunt about it. What's my biggest bugbear at the moment with working away from home, do you know, in those remote working? It's probably that we miss that a little bit, that little camaraderie, that little social circle, that it's harder to create that kind of social circle.
Okay. Anne-Marie, after graduating in the very early 1990s when Ireland was still in the depths of depression, I guess everybody did at that time, went through a fairly significant number of what one might call menial and meaningless kind of jobs. I had to convince myself every morning to get me out the door that, no, do you know what? There is actually a role or a function or a purpose. And if everybody in this job that you hold now, Philip, decided that they weren't going to go to work today, well, then a little bit of society would begin to unravel. Are these mental gymnastics in these circumstances useful tricks to play, or does it all end up unraveling after a while anyway?
I think they can be useful tricks to play, though I should distinguish here between, you mentioned menial jobs there. Menial jobs are not nonsense. They're really, really important jobs.
Just might not be stimulating.
They might not be stimulating, but they're, we all saw that in September when caretakers of schools were going to be striking.
I was a debt collector for a very short period.
I wasn't sure. Yeah, I wasn't up to date with your CV there.
The worst debt collector in the history of debt collection, I have to point out as well.
That's no harm in its own way, Philip. So well done.
You haven't got the money? Oh, never mind, I'll come back next week.
So people might have been delighted to see you coming compared
to
others.
Yeah.
But what's important is, of course, that there are many menial jobs that people may not get a lot of satisfaction from, but that are actually quite societally important, right? But for people who are in a job where they themselves see this as actually irrelevant, it's not making a contribution, or maybe it's initially did make a contribution, but as it's evolved, that contribution is no longer needed, then something is required. So that can be what you refer to as the mental gymnastics of reappraising your job, but it can also involve job crafting, which is a process where you think about aspects of the job that are important to you, that you do enjoy, that are rewarding to others, and you lean into those and you see, can you do more of those? Or you identify the aspects that aren't necessary anymore and you bring that to the person that is working with you and say, look, is there another way of doing this? Or do we need to keep doing this? So I think if you have an eye, if you can at all, to revising what your job looks like within the scope of what it's supposed to be, you may be able to take greater meaning from it.
This is just, Harry, isn't it, another way of describing what you so very often end up talking to or encouraging us to do when you come into this studio, and that is just to positively visualise whatever it is that has happened to you or that you have to do.
Exactly. That it's not what happens to us in life that causes so much distress. It's actually how we look at it. So if I get up in the morning and I'm liking the job that you were talking about, and I come in and I feel this is the most awful job in the world. I hate being here. I hate getting out of bed in the morning. My favorite trick, by the way, when somebody comes to me with this, I say, okay, we're going to solve your problem overnight. I want you to come and write a letter of resignation. And there's dead silence. And of course, the reason that there's dead silence is because the person suddenly has to realize, yes, but I'll have nowhere to go tomorrow. I won't be able to pay my mortgage. I won't have money to look after my family. Do you know what I mean? So in other words, if you can readjust your thinking to say, look, at this particular moment in time, this is providing me with a place to go, a meaning of some form. It is providing me with some income to look after my family and pay my mortgage, etc. But one of my favorite things is you know, change what you can and accept what you can't. So if it is possible, if you're really unhappy in your job, I usually say to a person, look, analyse it honestly yourself. Sit down, do a little bit of research. Is it possible, for example, that I could retrain at something, maybe try and do something different that might give me more meaning? If so, use where I'm working at the moment until I reach that point and then jump. Or else if I can't do that, then maybe just having to accept the reality that this is life. Life is not like, you know, we all think that all our jobs should be wonderful and interesting and stimulating and well paid. That's not real life. So often it's having to accept the reality of the situation that we find ourselves.
The very fact, Anne-Marie, that we're having this conversation about meaningless jobs shows, doesn't it, that we are all driven, perhaps to a greater extent, by needing a sense of purpose than needing reward. I'm just curious, I want to go back to something that you said earlier on about meeting quite a number of people for whom the pay packet at the end of the day was enough and that they didn't need the sense of purpose. Do you meet many people like that?
I don't in universities because we're really oriented towards public service in any case. But the point is that people vary in their need to feel like they're making this kind of contribution, right? So any job involves advantages, like we all need a salary to cover our expenses, right? We might value being able to work remotely. We might value a lot of social interaction in our day. We might value being able to serve a bigger purpose, or we might really enjoy the intricacies of corporate law or finance or something that where we can't necessarily see the societal benefit immediately, but it feeds into something bigger. So for people who really, really feel that they're oriented towards a more public service role, when they're in a job where they don't get that, they're more likely to be distressed by it. And when people who don't prioritize that as much, which is not necessarily a bad thing, it's just a personality characteristic, they're more likely to get along and see the wider benefits and think pragmatically and think, well, look, you know, my bills are covered. It doesn't really matter that there's not societal value every day.
We're skirting over here, Harry. One of the less attractive characteristics of human beings is that lust for glory, that lust for recognition. People like to be known for doing something that has meaning, purpose.
Yes, and like, for example, there was a person used to say, what was the most important job of all? It was actually the rat catcher. In other words, I might be a plumber. I might be doing something extraordinarily helpful for a family on a particular day. Do you know what I mean? So we have to find meaning in whatever we're doing. But I think what Anne-Marie is perhaps maybe talking about there is that sometimes people are just happy enough to take their salary, do their job, and then find meaning in something else they're doing, maybe in a hobby or an interest, or maybe they love painting or gardening, or you know, they find their meaning somewhere else.
Ultimately,
yes.
To each their own.
To each their own. I couldn't agree more. But I think the most important thing for me is if you do feel, from a mental health point of view, really stressed, really anxious, really frustrated, or very, very, maybe even to the point of getting down, do something about it. Do you know, my big thing is don't stay there.
Absolutely.
Do something, either go for help, look for some assistance, change how you think about it, or change your job.
Harry Barry, Anne-Marie Craven, thank you both very much.